Good morning, Broadway family and friends. I trust that the past week has been one in which you found some degree of joy and was able to help someone else and doing a good turn for someone during the course of the week. Again, let me reiterate, want you to remain as healthy as you possibly can. And the best way we do that during this coronavirus is to pay particular attention to the trained professionals and follow their instructions so that you, your family, and your friends will have a return to us and to each other in good health. So what we want to do is put a united front in preventive measures until there's a vaccine or some degree of safety so that we will be able to again come together as a group to worship one with another. Today's lesson, as a matter of fact, is on the coronavirus and faith in these times. Someone once says that these are the times that try men and women's souls, and it will try our faith. And what we wanted to do is to make sure we fortify our faith, and the best way I know of is through scripture and support from one another. So anytime you start to feel a bit down about not being able to meet as a group, or a bit down because you're not talking to friends the way that you could at one time, we've been blessed with a couple of vehicles that we are able to communicate with one another. Those that have the skill set, then let's use the internet to contact one another. Others use the telephone to contact one another, but let's try to stay in contact with each other until the date that we could all come together and once again in corporate worship, worship the Lord and thank him for the many blessings he's bestowed on us. But today's lesson is going to be faith in the times of the coronavirus. And I want to examine how we can fortify ourselves through faith. I want to bring you a word of encouragement in these very uncertain times. We do serve a very certain God in uncertain times. He is our rock, and he does not change. He is faithful, and his mercies are new every morning. Every day, different new mercies. He's present with you now, as the scripture declares in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, and let me share that with you. God is our fortress. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we as Christians will not fear. We all have a bit shocked by the rapid developments around the coronavirus. Many lives are being impacted, and the economic impact also has been quite significant. But God still is our refuge. God still is our strength. He's promised to cover us with his love and to be our shield. Be assured in this message that knowing him makes a big difference when we face fearful challenges. Having a personal relationship with the Lord makes a big difference. I pray for those who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, because that has to be a very lonely existence. But we have a relationship with the Lord, and we have a relationship with one another that can bring us over that bridge, be that bridge over the troubled waters. In these instances, too many people become shaken, and yes, that often includes Christians, begin to worry. These are the times that try men's souls, as someone once said, and that includes Christians who start to worry. Remember, it was he who said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." We all have been a bit shocked by the rapid developments around the coronavirus, but remember in the steadfast promise of the Lord, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Many lives are being impacted, and economic impact has been significant. But God is our refuge and our strength. He's promised to cover us and to be our shield. He's even declared that no plague will come near our dwellings. Be assured in this message that knowing Him makes a big difference when we face these types of challenges or any challenges. Philippians 4 through 7 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There is our rest in times of troubled water. If you will allow me, on a personal note, I consider Philippians 4 and 8 to be one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. It reads, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Have our minds set on such beautiful things. Occupy your mind with what you think means more than anything else in your life. Your thought life will determine how much you earn, where you live, what you become in life, and what you worry about. Your life today is a result of your thinking yesterday. And we want to talk about the thought process and the power in thought. Your life today is a result of your thinking yesterday. Prior to today, you thought about today. Your life tomorrow will be determined by what you think today. We always think before the incident. We always think before we act. Philippians 4 and 9 says, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." That's why reading your scripture is so very important. Finding a close personal relationship with the Lord through scripture and prayer is so very, very important, because from it we learn to put what we need in practice. And the God of peace will be with you. If you think you can, you can. God has given us a mind that's a powerful, powerful friend, or it can be a powerful enemy. If you think you can, you can. Conversely, if you think you can't, then you probably can't. Words have never been more true than those of Proverbs 23 and 7. As a person thinks in his or her heart, so is he or she. We've all heard the comment about a person who lacks tact in their conversation. It's often said that he or she says what she thinks. That comment could be made about each of us as well. Because before it becomes audible, first it's a thought. Although we may not instantly blurt out initial reactions, they will come out sooner or later if we continue to think about them. This lesson is about thinking and about concentration and the power of thought. What enters our mind and occupies our thought processes will somewhere, sometime, come out of our mouth or from our actions or facial expressions. It has been said, be careful about what you set your heart on, or you will surely get it. Be careful about what occupies your mind, because it will greatly determine what you will do tomorrow. A great deal of our counseling with people centers on their desire to make changes in their lives. I usually share with them this simple two-step formula that will help make each one a different person. The first step comes to us from 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and it says, "Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new." New King James. Let me repeat that again. "Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. And as a new creature, old things pass away. And behold, all things then become new," a new birth. In the new birth, Jesus said, we all must experience being assured going to heaven. Not only determines our eternal destination, it also changes our lives right here and right now. Forgiveness of sin removes much heartache and all guilt from the past. Forgiveness of sin removes much heartache and all guilt from the past. Love, joy, and peace that Jesus gives when one becomes his child, without question, makes us changes in any individual's life. It is a matter of a deep and abiding faith in the words of the Lord and obedience to his word. The idea is to fortify ourselves against feelings of anxiety, to fortify ourselves against fear, because fear is about us, because there are consequences to not being fearful. And in these turbulent times, we must be brave of heart. And through scripture, we find the strength to carry forth. Believers need not be slaves to fear. As a believer, we have freedom from fear, all enumerated in scripture for us. Romans 8:15 says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves." Spirit of the Lord. "So that you could live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." Son and daughtership. Sons and daughters to the Lord. "And by him we cry out, Abba," or "Father, Father." 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, "For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You need not be afraid if God is your helper. Think about that. We know that God is our custodian. God is our helper. There is no need for fear of anything, because with God as our helper and our provider and our protector, all we need do is follow his instructions, and knowing that as a child of God, he will care for us continuously. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Hebrews 13 and 5. Because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So fear of poverty is not a fear. Fear of the many things that we're afraid of is really not a fear. It's a self-induced, something that we bring upon ourselves. Trusting in the Lord and relying on our Christian friends and brothers is the remedy for most situations that we have. Hebrews 13 and 6 says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me if God is my protector?" Deuteronomy 31 and 6 reads, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." I can't think of any more secure words. He will never leave you nor forsake you. By adopting that message, there is no room for fear in our mind, in our spirit, or in our heart. Psalms 118, 6 and 7 reads, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. And what we want to do is take our refuge in the Lord and allow him to wrap his protective arms around us by giving to him in a humble spirit our love, our trust, our security, and our dedication. Trust in the Lord who casts out all fear. The coronavirus or any lacking, anything we lack or think we really need. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. As his child, he will provide for you. Psalm 56, 3 and 4 reads, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Fear will overtake us sometimes, and many times we become fearful, but we have a resting place for our fear. And it's not in our hearts, it's not in our minds. It doesn't immobilize us, because in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid what mortal man, disease, or anything else can do to me. Psalm 56, 10 and 11 reads, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. For what can man do to me? But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high." Our trust should be in the Lord to be our protector. Psalm 3 and 4 reads, "I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. He speaks to me from his holy mountain to fortify us, fortify all of us in turbulent times, in times of challenge, in time when fear can overtake many. That is the time we seek refuge with the Lord. Don't be afraid. God cares for sparrows. He will surely care for you." Matthew 10, 28 through 30 reads, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's home? And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." Meaning God is well aware of every problem you may encounter, is well aware of any challenge you may be presented with, and is well aware of all of our situations, no matter what that situation is. And he's prepared to be there, and he tells us, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4, 18 and 19 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." We love the Lord because he first loved us. And as I conclude our lesson today, I want to sum it up with the idea that as a Christian, we are to turn it over to the Lord and avoid fear. Fear has an effect that many times causes people to make rash decisions. Fear in many other times causes and paralyzes you. It causes you to not be able to think and to go to the Lord in prayer. The answer is going to the Lord in prayer and maintaining that close relationship with him to guard your mind, to guard your soul, to guard your heart. As we conclude, may God bless you until our next meeting. Remember, should any of you have any concerns or want to talk about this particular lesson, and you think that I may be of any assistance, please do not hesitate to give me a call. As always, I am at your service, and we love you, and we want to be here for you, and anytime you need us, we're available to you. In Jesus' name, amen.